Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a Panther Beast in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very favorite people on the planet and some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Josh, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a good week, and this right now I'm drinking a Trick, as in Trick or Treat, a leftover Halloween beer from Treehouse. It's a great double IPA. It's rocking it at 8.3, and it's delicious.
I'm glad you had a spat recently of bad beers. I'm glad you got a good one. Can't go wrong with Treehouse. They rarely have a misfire. I can't think of one that you were really that down on. Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I am doing okay. I'm drinking some iced tea tonight.
Iced tea, a little sore throat. What do you got going on?
My stomach's bothering me a little bit.
Stomach's bothering me. All right. I know if you can, you'd be hanging with us drinking.
Yep.
Mike, yeah, I see a brown bottle in the back there. What are you drinking there, my friend?
I am drinking a Big Sur Golden from Marina Brew House in Marina, California. It's a tasty golden ale.
Oh, Big Sur Golden is kind of what it sounds like when the largest inmate in a prison pees on you. Speaking of which, Stacey, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Doing well, yes?
Yeah, feeling festive.
Feeling festive, yes?
Yeah, yes. And you know what I'm drinking, water out of the
water
Frankenstein
Water out of your
cup.
Frankenstein, I don't know if that's what you're doing. It looks delicious, as always. And today we're going to be talking about one of your favorite characters, yes?
Yes.
Yes, we're talking about one of your favorite characters. And the reason I'm being annoying with the word yes is because it's one of his only catchphrases, Death's Head. And, Stacey, I think you, there are parts of the background story that I really enjoy, and I'll probably try to jump in on, but you know this whole story way better than me, so I'm going to let you go with it. But when we get to the part where they fuck over the Transformers, let me know, because I want to help talk about that, because it's so much fun.
Yeah, so Death's Head started as a character that was only supposed to be a throwaway character in the UK Transformers comic. It's created by Simon Furman, and once he saw the art for it, he decided, I kind of like this guy. I think I want him to stick around a little bit. So his first appearance was in a comic strip called High Noon Tex, which he wanted. The reason that Furman did that was he didn't want Hasbro to take ownership of Death's Head. He had more plans for him. So he was a bounty hunter in the Transformers universe, and he was huge in terms of stature. And we'll come back to the Transformers thing, but one of my favorite things was he actually appeared in Doctor Who comics as well, and he had an encounter with one of the doctors who shrunk him to a more human-ish size. He's a little bigger than human, but he's bounced around all over the place, and it's one of the reasons I really like him. And also he's a funny character. Like he's got his bounty hunting and time traveling and all that stuff, but he's kind of got that dry British humor thing going on. So do you want to talk about the Transformers and what happened there?
the reason I think that's so important is because you're talking about at a time when artists rarely got control or won back control of their creation. And he came up with a way of making this one-page strip. Now, High Noon Tex is just a one-pager, right?
It is, yeah. It appeared in several different British comics.
Right, so he publishes a one-page strip just a few months before he comes out as a character in the Transformer comic book. just so that he can say, oh, no, this is an established character. You're using it in your Transformer book, and I'm letting you do that because, you know, I did it. But no, this is my character, of course. By doing this one simple page, he kind of wins ownership, and no one questioned it. At least they didn't question it much. And I certainly don't remember Death's Head showing up in any of the movies.
So did he get ownership, or did Marvel Comics get ownership?
Well, I don't think Marvel Comics had ownership, or I'm not sure if they do now, because this was Marvel UK.
Yeah, but Marvel Comics owned Marvel UK. So, I mean, you're making it sound like the little guy wins, but, it goes from one corporation to a different corporation.
As a toy collector, I have to say I have a mixed feeling about that, because while I appreciate that it was good for him that Hasbro didn't absorb it, I'm a little mad that I don't have an 80s Transformers Hasbro version of Death's Head.
That's true, but he was at least able to keep writing Death's Head.
Yes.
For all the stuff in Marvel UK. So, as an artist, you know, Transformers just didn't take his creation and go away with it. He got to keep it and keep using it and writing it in Doctor Who comic books. He got to control it, mostly, with Marvel's permission, of course, because, you know, they changed him from this gigantic, enormous bounty hunter robot kaiju to, you know, a kind of a Frankensteinish height monster. I'm gesticulating wildly, I'm sorry. And, he had a lot of control as he worked for Marvel, but you're right, he never actually got control. Anything more you want to say about the character after that? He has two brothers of note.
Death's Head 2.
And Electric Boogaloo.
And Death's Head 3. So I know a lot more about Death's Head.
Metalhead?
But Death's Head 2... I have some of the Death's Head 2 comics, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit if anybody read them, but they don't have the humor. They're just straight up. It's just 90s, 90s, 90s. Like, Death's Head 2 90s comics are... I love bad comics. Like, that is... Most of my collection is... The foundation is bad comics. But, Death's Head 2, some of it is... nearly unreadable, but Death's Head the first, I have a soft spot for that guy. I really like him.
So what resonated with you with this one? Because this is a character, I gotta tell you, you're gonna be doing the heavy lifting, because I read the background story, and I did get a little bit into Metalhead, because that character seemed interesting, but there's not like a lot of depth to it.
And I didn't get into Metalhead because Metalhead is a character in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and so I like that one better. It's a robot turtle, so it's a little more fun. So the reason Death's Head resonated with me, so my husband and I are huge Transformers fans. I liked it as a kid, and then when we got together and he kind of got me more into toy collecting. I really got into Transformers, primarily the Transformers that transform into like Soundwave, who's a Walkman, or Perceptor, who's a microscope. Like I like the ones that are just kind of dumb everyday items. But I started reading the Transformers comics, and I read all of the US stuff, and I don't remember how. I think I just picked up in a dollar box or something some of the UK Transformers, and one of them had an appearance of Death's Head, and I was like, wait, who is this guy? And then I have a friend who's a super Doctor Who fan, and I don't know, somehow in passing we were talking about it, he was like, oh yeah, that's the guy, he was in some of the Doctor Who comics, and so he let me borrow some of those, and it's just, I don't know why I like him, I just do, he's fun, and then last year I discovered the appearance appearance of She-Hulk in some of his stuff, and that whole caper is really exciting and funny, and I don't know, he's just something different. He's kind of his own thing, really.
He is his own thing, I'll give you that much. when I say you're going to be doing the heavy lifting, Mikey, have you read any Death's Head?
No.
All right, that's a no. LT.
I have actually read a decent amount of Death's Head in preparation for this. Because I picked up...
Before this, though?
No.
Okay. So you're like, none at all. You did your research, okay.
I did not read... I think I read maybe a couple of books that had Death's Head in it, that were Iron Man books when Iron Man was out in space, and Death's Head was out there hunting Iron Man for a little bit, and so there was a couple of books where Death's Head and Iron Man intersected, but beyond that, I had never ever read a book with Death's Head in it prior to doing research for this.
So let me ask you a question. Let me see if I get the whole Death's Head thing straight. Death's Head is a robot bounty hunter.
Yes.
Yes.
Who was once the size of a giant transformer and now is more or less human size. But what are his powers?
He can time travel. He can shoot things. He has a razor sharp wit.
What does he shoot things with? Does he have guns, or or is it in his fingers?
Yeah.
Okay.
He also sometimes has a hook.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like Inspector Gadget, but you know,
violent,
but not violent as sexual
and mean, and not as sexual.
Okay.
And in some ways, but more sexual in others.
In the early Death's Head comic book from like 1988, they initially had these kind of rules that Death's Head followed, but they only kept it up for like a few books. And they were really kind of like interesting, and I wish they had kept it up, because like there were stuff like always honor a contract, but never trust the client. Make no concessions for age, size, or gender. Never kill for free, but it pays to advertise. So, like, you know, he would kill somebody kind of for free, but really it was just to advertise that you could take out somebody badass and do it very publicly so that it was advertising in his mind.
I think that was actually a theme that kind of ran through the comic books, that inconsistency. Like, someone would come up with kind of an interesting thing, like he had all these rules, but then it would be dropped kind of quickly. Yes?
Yes. So, like, yeah. They only did it for, like, 3 or 4 books, where he was actually, like, spelling out his rules.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the thing they didn't stick with. In the series you're talking about, there was a lot of, because it was, most of it was set in the year 81, 62, I think, something like that. Yeah. And that was actually where, so his first encounter with the doctor sent him, the doctor made him smaller and then just kind of shot him through time. And he ended up in the year 81, 62, which is sort of like this Mad Max kind of universe. Well, I mean, it's Earth, but it's very, you know, kind of warring factions and scavengers, and kind of get that vibe. And
so first, very much, I think, 2020.
Yeah, basically. Well, the interesting thing about 2020, which is one of my favorite things about Death's Head, is I mentioned the She-Hulk crossover. So in that particular issue, She-Hulk finds this rare vase, and she's trying to take it across town or trying to figure out what it is. And Death's Head's basically chasing her, like, hey, you know, I need this. And she's like, no, because she's She-Hulk. And it turns out that it's not actually the vase that's significant. There's basically a data disk inside it. And at the end of it, essentially what has happened is the information in that disk is significant in 2020. And it's because it's
we
kind of how Iron Man...
Is that what you're saying?
It's kind of how Iron Man 2020 came to be, which is a thing that is going on in comics. Again, we talked about Machine Man, and you know, Iron Man 2020 is a part, or I guess Machine Man is a part of the Iron Man 2020 stuff that's going on. So, yeah, so it's, you know, it's relevant now.
and Iron Man 2020 was in the Death's Head comics. He's Arno Stark.
Yeah.
In those comics, and he basically found some of the plans that Tony Stark had come up with for Iron Man and built his own version of the suit and did his own thing with the Iron Man thing. He was not as altruistic of a hero as Tony was, but he kind of made it his own.
All right. Arno, if you're going to pick any name, why would you go with Arno?
Who knows?
I'm just saying.
The letterer didn't want to write Arnold.
That might be it.
He's like,
a letter, and he's like, two more letters.
I'm sorry, you did not make the bubble, the bubble big enough. His name is now Arno.
His name is Arno.
Could it be something else?
Je m'appelle Arno.
Okay.
Well, his nickname is going to be Arno because he's on like four pages.
Stacy,
any whiteout?
Who is a better bounty hunter, Lobo or Death's Head?
Oh man,
we can't do a
Boba Fett
in there.
No, you can. I don't know. I like Lobo for the same reasons, and maybe it's not the right reasons to like Lobo, but the same thing, like wisecracking. I don't know. I might give the edge a little bit to Lobo because he has a dog. No, I don't know. And because one of my favorite buttons to wear on my con badge is usually the Bite Me Fanboy button. So, I give the edge a little bit to Lobo. I feel like a lot of times Death's Head is not successful. He manages to escape with his life, but...
Oh, I thought you meant commercially. Because I was about to totally agree with you on that one. Josh, how many Death's Head comics did you read?
I read the latest sort of run. Was that 2019? With Hulkling. It encapsulated two of my least favorite things in anything ever, which was both time travel and unrestricted magic use. So those two elements really brought through me the idea that this was something that I liked Death's Head in it, and all the supporting action around him drove me fucking insane.
That's fair.
Fair.
I was I thought the even though I hate time travel, the Death's Head versus upgraded Death's Head could have been, you know, construed in a timeline that was actually consistent and not some bullshit time portal thing. And I had never really heard of Hulkling before. Like, I hadn't read recent comics with him in it. And I liked the idea that he was the mix of non-Earth species to give him his powers, although besides the fact that it was green, I can't discern why he was Hulkling. There were things I liked, and definitely there was a lot I didn't like. But the Death's Head piece of the equation, just sort of him having the dichotomy with the more robotic version and the version that had been given sort of, quote-unquote, more of a soul, was okay. It was a reasonable storyline. I just didn't like how they pathed it through the universe.
Here's my pitch.
Hulkling was one of I'm sorry. I just want to. Wasn't Hulkling one of King Hulk's or Planet Destroying Hulk's offspring?
No, he was. He's an admixture of Kree and Skrull. Right. He's a Kree Skrull child, and just happens to have powers from both races. But because he is
by default green. He basically
so scroll screen.
Took the right. yeah, took well, the nom de guerre of yeah. of Hulkling, I guess.
Well, that was from Young Avengers, right? That was
yeah, it was Young.
That's Avengers. Where I know him from.
Yeah, I didn't really like delve into it. He was just in that sort of series, and I hadn't really heard of him before. But I mean, he self-proclamates that pretty frequently throughout the comic, so I got it.
Look, I get it.
Loud and fucking clear, Hulkling. I get it. Where your powers come from. There's not a mystery there.
So here's my pitch for a Death's Head series. He gets hired by a geek to go get very rare collectibles because he's a bounty hunter, right? So, yeah, I want that Mego action figure that has the foot on the wrong way because it's a collector's item. And he goes and gets it. But then, because he's a time traveler, another collector in the future hires him to go get the same thing. So he ends up having to fight himself.
A lot.
I would read the, all the shit time. Out of that.
There you
yeah,
go.
Read that. That's not bad. That was pretty good, Mike.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Look, we're going to make a lot of money in the future on this. Just let me have it.
Yeah.
It's actually not a bad point.
You already made your money on it now.
Yeah,
and they'll come back to the Boba Fett rocket launcher version.
Yeah,
action figure.
Still, it next Tuesday. I won't even be here.
Seriously,
I'm gonna leave the door open for me, Buck.
Yeah.
No, but he has to fight himself because that's the only time he in place. He knows where that action figure will be.
Yeah, but then he can just tell himself where it's going to be and be like, "I'll see you next week."
Yeah. Look.
No, because he's going to drop it off, and then it's never going to be seen ever again. So he only has the opportunity from when he steals it to when he delivers it.
Wyatt Reddy drops it off. He goes, "I'll see you later." Bloopity bloop, bloopity bloop.
Well, and considering how extensive my toy collection is, I'm wondering how many Death's Heads would show up at my house.
Well, here's the problem, though.
And probably one of them that I hired.
So
that's the conversation that always happens with toy collectors is we talk about if we had a time machine, what would we go back and get? Like, what thing would we go to a toy store and get and stash somewhere and then visit years later?
You guys are just full of anomalies.
So the first guy who hires him to steal it is Kronos.
Ooh.
And the second person is Stacy. So Stacy hires Deathhead to go back and steal it from Kronos, but Kronos can fuck with time, so that's why Deathhead can't just do it right after he delivers it.
Yeah. And then the collector gets involved in oy vey.
Oh,
Josh.
Man, I'd
wow,
like
to... this sounds like a comic I want to read in hell.
Josh, if you could go back in time, I know what toy you would get.
Oh, I know what a toy I would get.
Yeah. Go ahead. What is it?
It's a Battleship Yamato.
So,
Battleship the toy Yamato. Box, yeah,
that's a fucking goddamn loot.
Because that would be the toy I'd get to give to Josh.
Yeah, I think if any of us could go back in time, we'd all go back and get that same fucking thing just
that's
to
right.
give it to
you. There you
except
are,
Stacy. Right?
Stacy's like,
sorry,
hey, Josh.
I live in New England.
Fuck you.
So, Stacy, when I was a kid, my dad used to take – there was this store in Waltham, Massachusetts, which is just outside of Boston, and it was called –
Mr. Big Toys.
Mr. Big's Toyland. Moody's. Sorry. A.K.A. Moody's. The guy's name was Moody. And in the early – like late 70s, early 80s – he imported every Japanese toy, and he was the only – clearly, you were not finding them anywhere else, as far as I knew, anywhere else. And so every once in a while, Moody's Mr. Big Toyland, my dad would bring us there and let us pick something out. So one of the toys I still have is probably – he's probably an 18-inch die-cast steel original Robotech – the plane that turns into the robot. I can't remember which model he is. Like a VF-1. But like an original Japanese full steel, like from like 1985. I mean, just gorgeous, right? It probably took me 2 years to figure out how to transform it. Like that's how when I was a kid. So one year, one of the first times we're there is from Star Blazers, the Yamato. Mm-hmm. And it's like 6 feet long. It's a toy chest. The whole ship.
Wow. Yeah.
And there are the turrets, right? The battleship turrets are probably 18, 20 inches each. They each got like a, you know, like a 6-inch fire rocket that could kill your neighbor's dog. Like, it was gorgeous. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And in like the mid-1980s, it was like $200. My dad was like, are you fucking kidding me? They're like, there's zero chance I am ever buying this for you. And I've literally, like, bemoaned that, not getting that for however long I've been alive. But, wow. Like, every time I think about that, I think, one, I've never seen one. I've never seen one in my entire life besides sitting in that store.
And how much is it worth today?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah, it'd be insane. I just found a commercial, by the way, for Mr. Biggs Toyland on Moody Street in Waltham.
Yeah, Mr. Biggs, yeah.
So it's in our chat. Maybe I'll put it up on our Twitter wall later. I remember I never got to go there because no one's driving me to a toy store when I'm a child.
I never got to go there. I used to see the commercials and be like, I'd love to go there.
I had toys you were not getting anywhere else.
Some
of the stuff there was amazing.
I do remember your Transformer. It did take us forever. And, like, you would, like, show us a little bit of it. And we're like, Josh, just do it. I can't do it.
No, and I had a lot of the 36-inch big plastic figures, like King, Mazinger, the Godzilla, all the big plastic action figures from back in the day. I got from Mr. Biggs, yeah.
All right. That actually brings me to my 3 to 18. I know we're not done yet, but 3 to 18.
I don't talk about anymore.
GoBots.
Okay. Wait.
Stacy, 3 to 18. One of them, remember now, one of them can transform from a robot to a canoe. That is a true robot.
Dude, you're not telling me anything I don't know. I love the GoBots.
Yeah, clearly.
I love the GoBots.
So 3 to 18, Stacy.
So 3 to 18, I'm going to give them a... No, I'm going to give him a 16. I love the GoBots.
Wow.
What? Josh.
GoBots. So, I mean, as a kid who was like, you know, really, I mean, I'm talking about when I wanted to play with toys as a kid. So there were the Transformers, clearly, and Jazz was my first, like, real Transformer, and he was amazing. And I was like, dude, this is a white Porsche that turns into a robot, and he's awesome. And then you got to the GoBots, and you're like, this is a car that if I stand it up, it has a face underneath.
They were very simplistic.
Have you seen Tux, though? Tux is like, he's like a Rolls Royce, and you pull his little head out, and he's got a top hat. Like, he's amazing. There's so many good GoBots.
What
was the name of the canoe one?
I don't remember.
I'm going to say Johnny Canoe. Johnny Canoe. Maybe douche canoe. We're gonna leave it with douche canoe.
Douche canoe. That was
all right, Josh. 318. What's your number, buddy?
318. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wanted GoBots when I was a kid. I wanted to play with everything that could goddamn transform from the heart of my very fucking soul. But they were one beneath Transformers for me. And I'm gonna go with a 14.
All right.
I'm gonna say Transformers were a 15, and the GoBots were like, just bring it up the rear with the gear. They were the Pogues of the Transformer world, but I loved them anyway.
I tried to watch the GoBot cartoon after watching the Transformers, and I just couldn't. Do it.
Don't do that.
And for that, I think I need to give the GoBots a 7.
Ooh, harsh.
Whoa.
Wow, that's harsh. Wow. Okay.
I'm going to give one of my lower numbers, too, but it's only a 12. Just because, like, 9 being like, I play with it. 12, I kind of want some of the weird ones, but they certainly weren't like, oh, I got to have some GoBots. Mikey, what do you got there, 3 to 18?
I'm going to go straight with a 10 because I never desired a GoBot. I never had need for a GoBot, but I will give it a 10 because they were made by Tonka. So they were obviously made of metal that could easily kill a child. So
you at least bog someone with that canoe and do some damage.
Yeah.
My wife to this day swears that GoBots, the cartoon, and the toys are better than Transformers. And she will die on that hill. Alone and cold.
Have they redone a GoBot cartoon?
Don't give them bad ideas.
No, they did. Tom Scholey did a GoBots comic last year.
But the Transformers have had, like, what, maybe, I don't know, 2-3 dozen comics?
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. And the Transformers have had, like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6, 7 or 8 series since then, including the movies, not including the massive budget Michael Bay movies. Not saying any of them are good. I'm just saying that there have been.
The Bumblebee movie was good.
I love that movie. Yeah, I will die on that hill.
I'm just throwing that out there.
The Bumblebee
Transformers.
I'm not specifying any one character, Mike.
I did not watch the Bumblebee. I watched
Josh.
The
Bumblebee movie is the movie that you wanted the first Transformers movie to be.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't watched
Sensical.
I just assumed it was like the rest.
No.
Okay.
As I did.
I'll watch it.
So. Yeah. Welcome to the Transformers / GoBot podcast.
Yeah.
Because no one went into a goddamn thing about DevSend. Last word on DevSend, Stacey, go.
If you're going to read one issue of Death's Head, just one, I suggest the Marvel UK Death's Head #8, the adventure with someone who wants him to steal the TARDIS and kill the Doctor. And it's a one and done. You don't have to read the rest of the series to understand it. It's super fun. There's one gag in it that always makes me giggle. It has he sees a tank and he's like, "Mother?" It's just cute. But yeah, I still love Death's Head. I know not a lot of people love him. I've seen enough of his books show up in 50 cent bins to know that he is not a well-loved character in terms of comic collecting, but you know, that's kind of the characters that I end up loving. So
okay, you have convinced me that I want to read that issue, but please tell me it's the Daleks that hired Death's Head to kill Doctor Who.
No, it's a character named Josiah W. Dogbolter.
No. Mm. Oh.
That dog melter.
Your dog is a Dogbolter.
I don't know Dogbolter. I know the dog melter. He melts dogs onto you.
No, he's this green guy right here. The guy that looks like Boss Hogg if he were green.
Yeah.
He's Boss Grinch.
Light after Labor Day.
Looks like Ambush Bug after a particularly ribald night. Mm-hmm.
He looks like a Ninja Turtles character, honestly.
My last word on Death's Head is he is clearly the GoBot to Lobo's Transformer. So.
Yes. Mikey, what do you have at the front of the long box for me, pal?
At the front of the long box, I dove into a Grant Morrison series from Image Comics called Nameless. So if anybody's been listening to this podcast for a while, they will know that I love Grant Morrison. He's one of my favorite writers in comic books today. And there are two kinds of Grant Morrison comics. It's weird and insanely good, or two, it's weird and I don't fucking understand what the hell's going on. Welcome to #2 for Nameless. I could best describe it as a science fiction Lovecraftian horror / acid fever dream. So if that stuff appeals to you, go check it out, but it skips around so much, and because it's bending reality, you never know what's going on, to the point I gave up after issue 6.
A strong recommendation from Mikey. Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box?
I have Gone by Salmon Daniel Burks, Juan Fletes, and Lydon White.
Not a single one of those names is right. Not one name. Nope.
Yeah, no chance.
You never say the name with confidence, LT. That's why he calls you out on it all the time. You just got to have been like, blah, blah, blah.
Comics. It is a story of this robot on this ship that was an ark ship of people fleeing Earth because Earth was dying and they were searching for a new planet. And the ship was supposed to be filled with colonists. This robot wakes up and it's supposed to be helping people and it's all alone. And it's trying to figure out where everybody is, and it's trying to reach the control center of the spaceship to figure out where everybody is. And it's this robot's journey to try to figure out where everybody's gone and what's going on. And it's just a very interesting story, and this robot has all these sort of memories that kind of flip back into its memory banks, and it's trying to just figure out what's going on in the ship and what's happening and where everybody is. It was an interesting little story.
Okay. Well, it's a better sell than what Mike had.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely made way more sense than Mike's.
Yeah, I've seen Wall-E.
Yeah, we've all seen Wall-E. It's great. Stacey, I'm just starting to see and enjoy your t-shirt. Is that Jason and Freddy decorating a Christmas tree together?
It is. It is.
Aww.
It is such a perfect Christmas shirt. No, last year it was super fun because there was a Friday the 13th in December, and I was like, oh, I wish I had a cool Christmas Friday the 13th shirt. And I was like, oh, wait a second, I totally do. Yeah, I don't know. I bought it several years ago, and I wish I'd bought like six of them in case anything ever happened to this one, because I'll be distraught because I've never seen one since.
Nice.
It's fair.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've already gone off on a tangent, but I don't know if that's the official tangent. Josh, you got a tangent for us?
It was not the official tangent.
I mean, there were plenty of tangents tonight, and I will I'll defer. Like, we have gone far enough into the world of tangents that my speech has become high relevant. So let's just carry on.
High relevant.
So I will go off on a quick tangent for you. Our good friends over at WhosNextGaming.com did an episode of Movie So Bad They're Good on the greatest movie of all time. Can you believe it? Hudson Hawk. That was their latest podcast.
Oh, no.
So,
am I going to need to throw down?
They were very, very nice about it. The only thing that could have made this movie more Bruce Willis is if you were drinking a Seagram's, or no, wait, Bartles and James, was it? No, Seagram's.
Bartles and James, yeah.
No, which wine cooler did he advertise? Yeah. Seagram's.
Seagram's.
Yeah, Seagram's wine cooler.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But one of the things they did is everybody had to pick their candy bar code name.
Awesome.
So.
And their venereal disease? Because there should be a combination there.
It could be. But I'm going to go first so you don't steal mine. I am going to choose the Three Musketeers because that's like us. The five of us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
That's nice. Oh, I'm Peanut Butter Cup.
I'm Snickers.
There was a Snickers already,
yeah,
though.
Snickers was taken.
There was a Snickers already.
There was a Snickers. Jesus fucking Christ, watch a movie.
It's been a long time. It's been like 20
watch
years.
Watch the goddamn movie, LT.
I haven't seen it in 20 years, and I know every line.
I watched it last night, and I know every fucking line.
You son of a bitch.
No, seriously.
Right, I'll pick a different one.
Last night, watched it. That's not, yeah, seriously. I watched
it. I'm taking whatchamacallit.
Oh, man.
That way nobody will. That's a good name, too, because that doesn't really define what you do or anything.
True.
I know.
Wait, Mike.
I'm the go-to guy. I'm the jack of all trades.
You are a jack of all trades. So says your broken chair.
That is good on so many levels.
Right. I'm taking Ferrero Rocher.
No, you're not. Shut up. Not a candy bar. Go, Stacey.
Does it have to be a candy bar?
Yeah, it fucking has to be a candy bar.
That's doesn't have to be. A peanut butter cup is not a candy bar.
Peanut butter cup is not a candy bar.
True.
Well, all right. Fine. But I'm taking Kit Kat if you want to make it a candy
Kit Kat,
bar.
Holy there shit, did you Kit not Kat see the movie?
You go with 100 grand.
Oh, nice.
Because that's what all you right. charge.
What?
Charges that to kill people, like Death said.
Yeah. Or she's the financier of all our machinations.
Yeah, could be. LT, yep. It's down to you.
Yeah, pick something.
All right, Skybar.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Yeah, you can be our pilot.
Goddamn choice. And they started remaking Skybars in the same factory this year in Somerville.
Oh,
yeah, they're like $50 each, though.
They are not cheap. Yeah, they're not definitely not candy bar cost, but still, I fucking loved Sky Bars when I was a kid.
I like two pieces of the Sky Bar. Huh?
What piece didn't you like?
I never liked marshmallow ever, and I'm not a big fan of caramel.
Oh, I always give the marshmallow away too.
Yeah,
I like trade the marshmallow away. What?
But I like the marshmallow.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll fucking trade the marshmallow to you for anything. Any other piece of Skybar. I can't believe people are listening to us right now thinking, why don't I fucking know about Skybars? And generally, I'm actually kind of surprised because they were not universally nationally distributed out of New England.
I didn't have one until I was an adult, but yeah.
Yeah, like Skybars out on the West Coast. Like, if you grew up in California, you're listening to us right now. I know you're probably not listening to us right now, but fuck off. You don't know what a Skybar is. And at some point, man, goddamn, that was a good candy bar.
That'd be like me walking in here and asking how many of you guys had had Goo Goo Clusters that had never been to Tennessee.
Well, I've been to Tennessee, so.
I know. I'm saying you've been to Tennessee, so you've seen Goo Goo Clusters, but that just sounds like gibberish if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Same thing with Fluff. Like, Fluff didn't make it out of the Northeast Corridor. It was went past New England, but.
Yeah, my wife and daughter had never heard of Fluff, and I made them eat it.
Eat it!
They did made them eat peanut it. Butter and Fluff sandwich. I was like, come on, eat it.
Fluffer Nutters. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did not like it.
Another thing that did not make it to the southwest or west coast, yeah.
Well, we had, I don't think ours was officially Fluff. I think ours was whatever the craft version was, like the
Jet, you know. It's called Jet Puff.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Mallow cream or, no, that's a candy. Yeah. It's not Mallow a lady cream. Candy.
I think that sounds terrible.
It was. Mallow creams are terrible. Yeah, Mallow cream is a Reese's peanut butter cup with mallow in it.
No, that's a mallow cup. Mallow creams are the things that are like bell shaped that usually people's grandmas had, like in a bowl with all of the very ornate floral hard candy and everything.
With ribbon candy.
Ribbon candy, yeah. You mean slightly flavored razor blades left in a bowl to lure children into their death? Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly.
I remember
that.
I think my favorite.
Taffy that was God knows how old.
Very dusty candy. Horrible. Very dusty candy. I can agree on that.
I think my grandma just I think she just had the same glass bowl of candy that she just put Saran Wrap on and put it in the cabinet year after year after year. Yeah. From the time I was a child to the time I was an adult.
So many razor blades, Stacey, before your fall.
Your grandmother used Saran Wrap? You lucky bitch. Mine would just let that thing get dustier and dustier.
Now, Nana would wrap hers in tissue paper, not like Kleenex. So, like, you would be peeling it off, and, like, it would, like, still have the fucking Kleenex on it. So, if you really wanted the candy, you had to.
Oh, God. Yep,
you nailed it. You nailed it. That was my grandmother. That was fucking awful. It was the worst.
New England grandmas. If she'd reach into the pocket and be like, here's a candy, and you'd be like, I'm not sure if I want this.
Fuck?
Is this communion or is this candy? I don't understand.
Yeah. Why are you just handing me a wad of tissue? And why is it full of razor blades?
Eat the candy. I asked my grandma why she never baked for me. She asked me if I wanted a pork chop. That is not a joke. That is 100% true. Like, hey, grandma, you never bake. Like, what do you want me to bake a pork chop? What are you like? Not a pork chop.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Oh, I would take a pork chop.
We're just going to leave pork chops for Santa?
Like, yeah.
I mean, take a break from the fucking sugar and just have a nice pork chop.
Yeah. It's got a long way to go.
Pork chop.
Yeah. I mean, no mint jelly because I'm not a fucking monster. Yeah. But a nice pork chop is nice.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing wrong with pork chop. I haven't had pork chop in a while. I haven't had this pork chop.
Yeah. I got a pork chop now.
This is a very tangential tangent.
Man.
Hudson Hawk.
We should do plugs or something, right?
Do plugs.
I would like to plug whosnextgaming.com. You can go to check out their podcast, A Movie So Bad podcast. They're Good, their latest episode, Hudson Hawk. They actually do a shout-out to us. I don't know if you guys remember Dallas, who was over at our house when we did the trivia contest / drinking every fucking drop of alcohol in my house contest.
Oh,
She was on the podcast. I had a good time listening to it, and I found out things about Hudson Hawk I did not know.
What?
What do you mean, things that Josh doesn't know?
I don't know everything Josh knows, so I'm not sure. Did you know that Hudson Hawk was the last movie by TriStar because it bankrupted the company?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So then, no, I don't know.
I knew it went bankrupt. I didn't know TriStar. I didn't know that was what the camel, that's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Do you know who gets the story credit for writing Hudson Hawk?
I do not. I mean, not off the top of my head.
Bruce Willis.
Nice. I was going to say Bruce Willis, but I was afraid that was wrong.
Yeah, we're all afraid. All afraid.
Terrified all night. Shaking in our beds. I'd like to plug Pensacon, which, despite the fact that the world is on fire, is still trucking on. I haven't bought my plane ticket yet, but I'm still planning on going.
Are we...
Well, one of us is planning.
You mean my deposit is planning on going to Pensacon, but I'm not sure I am.
Josh, just call up Diane and be like, hey, you want a break from your house? I got another house in Pensacola you can come stay at.
Damn it. Yeah, it's going to be tough. That's a tough call.
It's a tough call. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, tough
call. It's not looking too good.
Well, I would like to thank...
not looking good.
I would like to thank Kirby Crackle, who provide our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And I'd also like to thank the guys over at my comic book shop, The Comic Conspiracy, in Sunnyvale, California. They also have a podcast, which, if you are interested in comic book sales, is the podcast for you.
That sounds terrible. It sounds too dialed in for me.
I'm going to try to get Brock, who's on the podcast and one of my favorite guys over at the store, to come on for a podcast with us. He's a cool guy.
I'd love to hear it.
And one of the few people in town I know that I don't work with.
Yeah.
So
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com.
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 Hello.
Geekorthodox.com.
Oh, I hope you guys packed up all the fucking things I ordered, because I ordered a shitload of you guys for Christmas.
Oh my god, the Sherlock Holmes stained glass that they just put a picture up of?
Beautiful.
Holy shit, is that beautiful.
Yeah.
God damn, I wish I was rich.
Mm. Well, I ordered a lot for Christmas. So, yeah, I know. Ian, I know you're listening. You're probably the only person I know who actually listens. So, you know, just get it out the door, man. Wink is as good as a nod to a blind man. Let's go.
Are these Christmas presents or just presents for Josh?
Who knows? Yeah. I don't try to figure that stuff out, Tom.
My wife got me the nicest Christmas present. I told her about it today.
Oh, wow. Well played.
She's so good to you, Mike.
Yeah. Very intuitive.
Every year.
I am making my wife a batch of moose wine.
Oh. Made from
just peeling the labels off of a bunch of bottles of wine, slapping some moose labels on it.
Putting simple, my retainer simple. In there?
Put your retainer in there, moose bite. Nice. Oh, I should have called it moose bite. Oh, my God. Shit.
Yeah, seriously, what's wrong with you?
I call it moose the moose wine. Damn it.
I forgot all about it. I've got so many moose paraphernalia for your wife sitting in my closet because I thought I'd be there for Christmas. Damn it.
Box it all up. Mike, you moving here for Christmas is such a chicken, corn, fox conundrum that it's driving me nuts trying to figure out how you're going to get your pets, your wife, and your stuff over here in a timely fashion.
Well, the wife will be no problem. She'll be there timely. It's the rest of us that's going to be a problem.
All the rest of the stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you got a linchpin to start with, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah, you get that first one free. You roll across the thing with the chicken.
Right there.
All right. I think that's everything, guys. And
I got one more thing to plug.
Plug it up.
Since it's Christmas, everybody should go out and buy the Angry Johnny and the Killbillies Christmas album.
How's Angry Johnny doing?
He still has a lot of medical bills.
Well, let's support our good friend Angry Johnny. Yep. If ever there was a guy who was pretty cool, that's a boy whiz.
Where can they get the Christmas album?
You can get it on Bandcamp. Bandcamp.com.
Not bad. I like
Last time I went on Bandcamp, I bought Kirby Crackle's latest album twice.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand how Bandcamp works.
Stacey, by the way, Stacey, I'm sorry. We forgot to do your Toy of the Week.
With us now, Stacey.
Toy with us, Stacey.
It's Death's Head. Well, had I known we were gonna talk about Transformers and GoBots so much, I would have probably brought down a bunch of GoBots. But
do you have the GoBot that goes into a canoe?
I don't have that one.
Obsessed with the canoe, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So this came out, a few years ago, probably longer than I care to admit. But this was when Hasbro had a 3¾-inch Marvel line called the Marvel Infinite, I think. So this is the 3¾. They actually made a 6-inch version of Death's Head 2, but they haven't made one of this one, and they probably never will because nobody gives a shit except me. So, I'm happy to have this one.
It's a good-looking figure, though.
Yeah.
It is. That's better colors than some of the ones. Though those colors actually really pop.
His weapons don't stay on his back for shit, but that's all right.
So are they magnetized or?
No, they should be.
So, Stacy, so our listeners can see what you're showing us, will you put it on your Instagram?
I will. I'll put it on my Instagram. It is Geeky Vixen, all one word. You can also see pictures of my adorable dog, who I don't know if you guys saw a few minutes ago. She came in and shook me down for a treat. So you got to see her. but yeah.
Yeah. Why do you let her carry a stiletto? Give me a treat or I'm going to cut you. Cut you so bad. I didn't cut you.
I taught her everything she knows.
I'm going to eat poop. Your car.
There you go. Now I put the weapons in his hand and he looks better.
Looks very cool. And that will do it for us tonight. Mike, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like we should plug our Patreon.
Hey, yeah, we should plug our Patreon. Everyone who doesn't know, we have a great Patreon page over at the Longbox Guys at Patreon. All the money that we raise goes right to the Elizabeth Peabody House, which is a food bank and establishment house that helps people who are new to this country not only get established, do paperwork, do citizenship tests. It also provides a food bank, which I personally run for our folks. We feed about 200 families a week, and we love all the support that we get from you guys. And you get a free podcast called The Geek Leak, which we mostly talk about what we do when we're not just talking about comic books. Christmas traditions, TV shows, pop culture.
Snacks.
Yeah.
We should do an all snack one. We did Malo bars. Why not?
We are very hungry, right?
Snack podcast, yeah. Fuck, I want a snack.
A little thirsty, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, snack time.
It's snack time. Mike, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like a drunk rambling history, but for comics.
Awesome. Josh, Pensacon, maybe your sector?
Probably not. I already warned the guy it might not be our sector and we'd have to cancel, but I will say one thing. I love snacks.
Snacks. Snacks, that's your sector.
Snacks.
Oh, yeah. Tommy, my friend, any words of wisdom for us?
That's right. Oh, I'm so disappointed in Kentucky, but I'm hopeful about Georgia.
Georgia's on my mind, too, my friend. And Stacey, what do you got for us on the way out?
Oh, I would say it's like the GoBots and the Transformers, if they were friends and they came together, let's all be that way to each other.
Let's share.
Especially during the holiday season. Yeah, share some snacks with somebody.
Yeah.
Be friends with a guy who's a canoe. He could probably help you out.
I am my own canoe. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You'll probably live longer. Thanks from all of us here at The Long Box, guys.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.